instructions for this meditation. I want you to feel free to go unconscious on most of what I say. In other words, as I say this, I want you to react as if you're not even hearing most of it.
Which is probably true.
With that, you know, if it's the truth, it's going to always ask of you what you're able to do right now. Uh-huh. The easiest. That's how you can always tell when the truth is coming at you. Because whatever it requires of you is something you can do. And not only can you do it, you can do it right now.
And do it well.
That's a
good point to remember the next time you're wondering whether or not you're getting guidance.
Say it again, please. Some of us are slow.
If something is coming to you from spirit, if some guidance is coming to you from spirit, it will be guidance that is simple and guidance that is very easy for you to initiate from where you are right now. It will only require of you what you are able to do right now, mm-hmm, and what you want to do right now and what you're able to do right now. So, what I'd like to do is, before I do the meditation, I'd like to give a proclamation to the township. Remember only this. You need not believe the ideas. You need not accept the ideas. You need not even welcome the ideas. Some of the ideas you may actively resist. Some of the ideas you will find hard to believe and even to be quite startling. You may hear something that startles you. You are not asked to judge the ideas at all. But you probably are. Their use will give the ideas meaning to you and will show you that the ideas are true. If you use it, you'll see that it's true. You ready?
Ready.
Okay, so just go with it as best you can. Judgments of the world. Justice corrects the interpretations to which injustice gives rise. Justice cancels out unjust interpretations. Neither justice nor injustice exists in heaven, which is reality. Error is impossible and correction is meaningless in reality. But in this world, however, forgiveness depends on justice. Since all attack can only be unfair, so justice is the Holy Spirit's love's verdict upon the world, is justice. Except in love's judgment, it's impossible to be fair. For no one in this world is capable of making only just interpretations and laying all injustices aside. If you were fairly judged, there would be no need for healing. The thought of separation would have been forever inconceivable. So justice, which is fairness, is an interpretation. But fairness, justice,
It's the one interpretation that leads to truth. Justice becomes possible because while justice isn't true in itself, true justice includes nothing that opposes truth. There is no inherent conflict between justice and the truth. Actually, justice, being fair to yourself, is but one small step in the direction of the truth. Being fair to yourself is one small step in the direction of love. Being fair to yourself is one step in the direction of love. The path becomes quite different as one goes along. I know you're on the path, and the path becomes quite different as one goes along. Nor could all the magnificence, the grandeur of the scene, and the enormous opening vistas that rise to meet you as the journey continues be foretold from the outset. Yet even these experiences whose splendor reaches indescribable heights as you proceed along your path, fall short indeed of all that waits when the pathway ceases and time ends with the pathway. But somewhere someone must start. Justice, being fair, is the beginning. Do you know that all your concepts of yourself and all your concepts of anyone else, all your fears about the future and all your concerns about the past, do you know that they come from injustice? You being unfair to yourself? Looking through the lens of fear, which are held before the eyes of your body, it distorts your perception. And since you're looking through the eyes of fear, it brings witness of the distorted world back to your mind that made the lens, and you are holding your lens very dear. Selectively and arbitrarily is every concept in the world built up in just this way. This is the way the world builds up its perceptions. So-called sins or guilts are perceived, and then these sins and guilts are then justified by careful selectivity in which all thought of love must be lost. Forgiveness has no place in such a scheme as guilt and grievances, because for no one sin but seems forever true. It just looks like it really did happen to you. So salvation is another word for love's justice, love's fairness, God's fairness. Fairness, which means loving yourself and not accepting anything less than love for yourself, which is fairness, restores to your awareness the wholeness of the fragments you perceive as broken off and separate. Beginning to see correctly, beginning to see the truth, beginning to see in love, it overcomes your fear of death. Separate fragments must decay and die, but wholeness, oneness, is immortal. Thinking that one is separate leads to death. Being aware of unity and wholeness leads to eternity. Because eternal life, life that never ends, remains forever and forever like your Creator, because you are one with your Creator. So love's judgment is love's fairness. And it's a judgment that's totally lacking in condemnation. It's a judgment on you that's an evaluation based entirely on love. Until this evaluation of you that's based entirely on love, you have projected your injustice. You have projected your unfairness. You have given God the lens of warped perception through which you look. Now it looks like all of the injustice and fear it somehow belongs to the Creator and not to you. You are afraid of love. You are afraid of God. But you don't see that you really hate and fear yourself as enemy. So right now, pray for God's justice. Pray for love's fairness. Praying for God's justice is the same as praying for love's fairness. Do not confuse your Creator's mercy with your own insanity. Perception can make whatever picture your mind desires to see. Your perception can make whatever picture that your mind desires to see. Your perception can make any picture that your mind desires to see. Remember this, because in knowing that it's your perception that's coming from whatever you desire to see, lies either heaven for you or hell for you. Love for you or fear for you comes from you recognizing that your perception can make whatever your mind desires to see. Love's justice, God's justice, love's fairness points to heaven, and the Course calls reality heaven. It's not the traditional religious terminology of the word heaven. The Course defines heaven as complete joy that is eternal and is constant and never ends and only expands. That's heaven. And from this one standpoint does a loving man judge, in this standpoint alone. So when you're using love's judgment, when you're being fair to yourself, then attacking becomes meaningless. Condemning yourself or someone else becomes meaningless and indefensible. Perception rests because you're not attacking and afraid anymore. Your mind is still, and light, which is truth, returns again. Vision is now restored. What has been lost has now been found. The peace of God, the peace of love, descends on all the world, and you can see. And we can see.
If I smoke, that'd be asking for a cigarette right now. Like, well, that is good for you as it was for me. Oh, mercy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's so easy to go to a pleasant place and it doesn't cost anything but a little attention. That's it. Okay.
I'm going to do What is the Peace of God, which is on page 51 in the Manual for Teachers. And remember, the Course is only talking about love or fear. So when it says God, it's talking about love. It says anything that's of what we would call a positive nature, it's talking about God or love. And it also is only talking about fear. And so fear is any form of lack of peace. So fear is anger, fear is sickness, fear is depression. Fear, we're only dealing with love or fear. And the Course only works at the level of the mind. It works at the level of perception. So everything that I'm saying is about perception, and everything that I'm saying is about love and fear. Am I matter what the terminology looks like, it's on the page. Okay, instant translation for you. So first I'm going to read what the peace of God is, and then I'm going to share what the peace of God is, and then I'm going to remind you about what I share at the peace of God is. Okay? And I'm going to do it right. Okay.
It's static. I'm so staticky. I'm trying to ground myself. I want to blow my ice hard up.
We'll read it first. What is the peace of God? It has been said that there's a kind of peace that's not of this world. How is it recognized? How do you find the peace that's not of this world? And being found, how do you retain it? Let us consider these questions separately, for each question reflects a different step along the way. How can the peace of God be recognized? How can you recognize the true peace? Well, God's peace is recognized at first by just one thing. In every way, it's totally unlike all previous experiences.
How do you recognize it? It's totally unlike any experience that you've ever had before, and if you compare it to any experience you've ever had before, it's not the peace of God.
If you say, that's the kind of peace I had at Christmas when I was 15, that's not the peace of God. Okay? Then it says, when you experience the peace of God, it calls to mind nothing that went before. That means it brings with it no past associations. That means the peace of God is a new thing entirely. There's a contrast, yeah, between the peace of God and all the past. But strangely, the difference is not a contrast of two differences. The past just slips away. And in the place of your past is everlasting quiet. Only that. The contrast first perceived is merely gone. In other words, quiet has reached to cover everything. Okay, now, how do you find this quiet? How is this peace found? How is this quiet found? Well, no one can fail to find the peace who but seeks out peace conditions. You will find peace when you look for the conditions of peace. What's that? Well, peace can never come where anger is. Because anger must deny that peace exists. That's why you're angry, because your peace don't exist. So who sees anger as justified in any way or in any circumstance proclaims that peace is meaningless and must believe that peace can't exist. And so in this condition of anger, peace cannot be found. Therefore, forgiveness is a necessary condition for finding the peace of God. More than this, if you have forgiveness, there must be peace. They go together. Forgiveness and peace go together. For what except attack can lead to war? And what but peace is the opposite of war? So here the initial contrast stands out clear and apparent. Yet, when peace is found, the war is meaningless. And it is conflict now that is perceived as non-existent and unreal. So that's how you find it. You stop getting so pissed off all the time. Okay, now, how is the peace of God retained? The once you find the peace of God. Well, returning anger in whatever form will drop the heavy curtain. Once again, in the belief that peace cannot exist, will certainly return. I just can't be peaceful. Peace just doesn't exist for me. Everybody else, Britney Spears, but not me.
Whoa.
War is again accepted as your reality. Now must you once again lay down your sword. Although you do not recognize that you pick your sword up again. But you will learn. You will learn as you remember even faintly now that happiness was yours without your anger. In other words, you were feeling pretty good until you start feeling pretty bad. I'm can have so much fun with all this here. You know, I can just feel it. There's another me coming out. I can feel it. I can feel it. He's moving these old bones. I got to start exercising. All right. You will learn, as you remember, even faintly now, that happiness was yours without the sword of anger. And if you're unhappy, it means you must have taken the sword of anger again as your defense. What do? You stop. For how long? A moment. I don't have that much time. I got too much to do. Stop for a moment. Now, think of this. Think of this. Is conflict what you want, or is God's peace the better choice? Is it conflict that you want, or is the peace of love a better choice? Let me see. Is it conflict that I want, or would the peace of God be a better choice? Oh, what gives me more? Let me see. What I think gives me more? The peace of God, or really like going upside their head? Which one would make me feel better? To cuss them out, or to say the peace of God from my mind to yours? A tranquil mind is not a little gift. In other words, would you rather choose to live than to choose to die? Living is joy. Death can only weep. You see in death escape from what you made. When I die, everything will be all right. I'm leaving it all behind. I see death as an escape from everything I've made. I will get past that MasterCard bill by dying. When I die, I won't have to pay that bill. I look forward to it. I think death is an escape from what I've made. But this is what you don't see. This is what you don't see. That death is but an illusion of the end. In other words, when a person dies, it looks like they died, but they didn't really die. So every time somebody looked like they died, they didn't really die. That's what you're going to find out. The death is an illusion. In other words, you ain't getting off that easy. You're not getting off that. Most of the people, including myself, to be worried about dying about something, I say, you're too guilty to die. You ain't getting off that easy. You ain't going nowhere. You should be afraid of death. You should be afraid of staying here. In fear. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the fear. So I'm not talking about perception. So when I say that about, wanting to not be here, I'm talking about not wanting to be in fear. Okay? Now, life has, he said, you know what? Death cannot be escaped because it's not life in which the problem lies. Life doesn't even have an opposite. Life is of God. There's no opposite to life. There's no life and. Life and death seem to be opposites. The only reason why it looks like life is the opposite of death is because you've decided that death is the end of your life. You've decided that death is the end of your life. You've decided that death is the end of your life, so now it looks like there's a such thing as a life and a death. Because you've decided you die. And you're hanging around a bunch of other people who decided they die. And then they live in a whole world where it looks like everything dies just so they can be right. People who believe in death live here. And because they all believe in it, they all seem to go through it. And so they don't think it's anything else because they're only around those like themselves. So it looks like your lie is true. But I'm here today. I'm visiting. I have a little temporary visa.
Mexico.
That's right. I'm a guest worker. I just have a little visa. The Course says, if you forgive the world, that means if you correctly perceive the world, if you start seeing things correctly, it says, you will understand that everything that God created cannot have an end. The ones you have vision, the ones you can see, you realize there's no such thing as anything that love created coming to an end. There is no such thing as a love that comes to an end. There is no such thing as I love them and it came to an end. There is no such thing as love that ends. There is no such thing as love that ends. There's no such thing as love that ends. That's what you'll understand. He says, that's what you'll understand when you forgive yourself. Because when you forgive yourself, you won't want to die. But when you don't love yourself, you look forward to getting yourself out of here. I'm going to get this worthless thing out of here by hoping it dies soon in its misery. I want to get rid of miserable Earl. How do I get rid of miserable Earl? I just hope he dies. Well, he's right on schedule. Just hit another birthday last month and the thing is moving, trucking right on along. The parade is moving right along. I tell you, that's what I'm trying to change from a time-bound consciousness to an eternal consciousness in my physical body so that I won't have to die like people who believe they are bodies do. So, he says, the first thing you understand is that everything that God created cannot have an end, and nothing that love didn't create is real. If love didn't create it, it's not going to last. You ever wonder why so many things in your life don't last? You ever say, why doesn't that last? Why doesn't that? Because love didn't create it. Why doesn't that relationship last? Well, love didn't create it. Why did not prosperity and abundance? Like, well, it wasn't coming from love. It was coming from fear. Where did that relationship come from? It was coming from fear. That's why it ended. The universe loved you too much to let you stay in it forever. Wow. The universe loves you more than you do. Because you would have stayed.
Exactly when you start to hear what I say, amen. Against that solo.
Tracks, I failed again. Now I'm hearing the truth, and I was determined not to. I had successfully shielded myself from all consistent good the light years. Now, like everything else that I try to do, I'm failing at being miserable like I used to be. I keep looking around for a new relationship to make me miserable. Nobody wants me. People are refusing to use me to make themselves miserable like they used to. That's what I used to experience because they'd be blaming me for what was going on. They said if I changed, they'd be happy. So, nothing that love didn't create is real. He says, in this one sentence is our course explained. In this one, what's the one sentence? The one sentence is, anything that love created is not going to end. Anything that comes to me from true joy is not going to end. Anything that comes to me from sanity, I'm giving you Course in Miracles definitions of God, is not going to end. Anything that comes to me from what's real is not going to end. And anything that does end wasn't real to begin with. Those are the two laws that the awakened mind learns. The sleep mind goes, but I know it's real. It hurt, but I know it was real. And it ended, but I know it was real.
So to forgive the world, if you understand those things, then you automatically forgive the world?
If you understand those two things, you automatically forgive the world because you know there's nothing to fear and you know no one did anything to you. And since you know no one did anything to you, there's nothing to forgive because you realize that the upset that you're giving yourself about what they did is really you making yourself upset by constantly focusing on it all the time. So the reason why you're feeling bad is because of what you are telling yourself every single moment of the day and not because of what anybody's doing to you. What you're telling yourself about what you think people are doing to you is determining the way you feel. So if you feel bad, it's because you're making yourself feel bad. So forgiving yourself would simply be to stop.
It's simple.
It's
too simple. It's too simple. I need some complicated acting. I need some chakras and some colors. I need some candles and some incense. I need some physics. I need some algebra. I need it to be more complex.
Yeah.
Because if it's not complex, I don't have no excuse for not doing it. If it's complex, I can wait a long time. But if it's simple, I just have to admit I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
Why aren't you going to forgive? I just don't want to. I know it's simple. I know it's simple, but I just don't want to do it. And I'm just not going to do it right now. So I'm just going to keep this in misinterpretation that keeps me in absolute fear, looking through a distorted lens of anger that creates a relationship in a world as hell for me. I'll fix them.
I'll show them.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't have to change.
Mm-hmm.
How would you notice that nobody here? You care the most. I will promise you, you care the most about you. So I said to that, I promise you, I know it might be a little disillusioning. But we don't think about you as much as we think about ourselves. We just don't.
Yeah.
I will not be racking my mind on the length of your skirt days after you leave today. Unless you had exceptionally pretty legs. I will take you on the Friday or Saturday. Okay. This is a perfect time for a commercial. If you'd like a constant reminder of what we're hearing right today, with all the energy and the love that we have, I have over 100 hours of classes online at my website in the last 2 years that you can listen to online, or you can download it to your portable device like an iPod, even burn a CD. Get this thing started. I'm offering that for the unbelievably low price of $49.95 for 100 classes available to you, and a 1 month subscription to all the classes coming up for a month from the time that you do it.
That's good.
So, and just check it out anyway. I've done a lot of work on it.
Yes.
Because I'm really taking it, Holy Spirit is taking everything in my life to another level. I've already had contacts from the Netherlands. Deep. So, I would love it if you took me with you every way you went. Stick me close to your chest. Even the guys. Listen to this over and over again about how if you really want something real and you have something real, it'll be something you can always count on, and that you're moving to that kind of world. And that anything that causes you pain and fear by definition is not real, so therefore it can't last. And pain comes from trying to hold on to something that's not real.
Yeah.
Rock.
Yeah.
Okay.
In this one sentence is our EarlPurdy.com. Then I had like a background. EarlPurdy.com.
My advertising budget is pretty low. So don't criticize me. I'm going to fix that key.
Okay. He said, this one sentence, our practice is given its one direction. In this one sentence, it's the Holy Spirit's whole curriculum specified exactly as it is. In this one sentence, we're hearing the whole curriculum. He said, now, what's the last one? What is the peace of God? What is the peace of love? He says, no more than this. The simple understanding that God's will, which is love, is completely without opposite. In other words, there is only love for you. You accept only love for you. You deserve only love for you. There is nothing else that you deserve other than love. He says, no thought that contradicts that thought, God's will, can be true. So what's the true thought? It's the inner thought I tell myself that takes me in the direction of love and support and peace. What is an ego thought? It's the inner thought that takes me away from my peace.
Yeah.
What's an ego relationship? It's a relationship that I'm always moving away from my peace when I'm in it. And what's a true loving relationship? It's a relationship I want to join, I want to join, I want to unite, I want to join, unite, join, join, unite, connect, you know, unite, join. Okay. It's a heck of an affirmation there. And I keep a brother pretty busy, won't I? Okay. The contrast between God's will and your will but seems to be reality. In truth, there is no conflict because God's will is yours. Don't you want the same thing?
Yeah.
Don't you want the same thing? Would you like absolute safety and peace?
Yes.
And fulfillment? Okay, now you want what the Creator wants for you. Finally, you jumping on board. Finally, you're the only one that was holding the thing. It was you that was thinking you weren't good enough and holding against yourself the mistakes you made and holding grievances against what you think you should have done better. And, you know, it's you holding the train up because everything else wants to give you what you deserve. You're the only one who don't think you deserve it.
Wow.
So I'm fine. I'm glad y'all ready to go with the will of love. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh. Then it says, now is the mighty will of God himself God's gift to you. Now that love is the gift. And love does not seek to keep it for itself. That's how you can tell love. Mm-hmm. If I love you, I'm certainly going to share it with you.
Yeah.
It's no way I can love you and keep it to myself. So you don't have to go, do you love me? What? You never tell me. I never see you love. I don't never see no evidence you love me. Do you love me? Actually, if it's love, it just can't keep it to itself.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You don't have to ask.
You don't have to. They're going to show you. You're going to feel it. You're going to know it.
That's true.
You know, there is nothing so obvious as the truth. And nothing do we less see. If I'm attacking you, judging you, and condemning you, that's not expressing love to you. Okay. It would have gone to my head. It's not a lesson that God would have me learn. If I'm in a miserable relationship, it's not there just to help me grow. If you're going to stay in something that is miserable and is not bringing you any joy and you just can't get out of it, what you should tell yourself is, it's a lesson that'll help you handle it a lot better while you're taking yourself through needless suffering. So those who are determined to continue to keep the old way going that hasn't worked for them with the same situation, circumstances, and people and situations that never worked for them,
mm-hmm.
If you want to have peace in that misery so you can move out, I want you to tell yourself, right now I'm having a lesson that's helping me to grow into a divine being. Or something like that. Because if you're going to stay in it, you need to tell yourself something about it that would make you feel peace about staying in it.
Yeah.
Don't that make sense?
Yeah.
If I'm not going to leave it, then I need to say, this is building character. Got it? This is building my character. It's making me a stronger, better person. That's what you say if you're in a situation and a pattern that you can't break and you just stay in it no matter what. Okay? All right? That's a little bonus to go with the website. So the end of this, which I think I finally get to, he says, he doesn't seek to keep it for himself. Who is he? Is that love or fear? That's love. So love doesn't seek to keep it for itself. Why would you seek to keep your tiny, frail imaginings apart from God, which is love? The will of God is one, which is love, and it's all there is love. This is your heritage. Unconditional love is your heritage. That's what you deserve. Unconditional love. No matter what you weigh. If your butt flat as a pancake, you deserve love. Say it to people right away. That's how they release it. But people gonna make it? Yes. I'm coming to get them personally. I got a little butt to spare. Some of y'all have some too, don't you? There's people here that loan you butt right now, Pat. But they want to get rid of for years. They give it right to you. I never looked to be so much fun going to hell. That's what some people tell me. You're going to hell, you know that. Hell is waiting for you. Well, good. That's what all my friends do. I won't be alone. That's right. I'm so bad I put God out of, no, the devil out of hell. The devil will throw in the towel. You got to bang. Sometimes when you're being most yourself and moving the most in the direction that moves you is when you feel the most guilty. Like you're really doing something to hurt somebody. That's hell. That's hell. This is your heritage. The universe beyond the sun and the stars and all the thoughts of which you can conceive belongs to you. You want to know now? What do you have? You have the universe, even the universe beyond the sun, and you have everything you can conceive of. God's peace is the condition for God's will. Love's peace is the condition for love's will. So attain God's peace. Attain love's peace. And you will finally remember God. You will remember love when you finally have the peace of it. When you actually are in love and you feel complete peace. No worries, no cares, no anxieties. Then you will remember love. Okay, all right. I'm stop at that part, and then I'm going to come back and say what I said. Right after the love offering. Take a breath. I love people that got a sense of humor. I love people with senses of humor. Senses of humor. Senses of humor. Okay, so I got the thing up here. And I meant to pass it around. I've been to pass it around every week. Well, I'll pass it again.
If you've signed it already recently, you don't have to. But I'll pass it around. Many of you can get on there, and if not, go to my website. You can do it that way, too. That'd be even easier. I'm really going to be using my website as a way, discussions, a blog. You know, I have it set up. You can email me. I do instant messaging with each other. I want to get this thing going. It's going to be a hub of communication for our community. And so we're going to get deeper.
Yeah.
And I'm really going to let go of my inhibitions this year. Up of my shyness and holding myself back. So you'll be safe.
We can't wait.
You will be safe, but we will be me. And that's the deal. I'll be me, and I'll be myself, and then you will be safe. Is that a good deal? Okay. All right. Because I do not want to feel like I'm censored in any way as far as communicating. I want to feel like I can talk to adults. As if they are adults. I'm sick of being everything in my life being dumbed down to an 11-year-old level. Like you do on TV. I can't stand it. You know, if grown folk can't take people talking like grown folk talk, then it's obviously not the right class for you. That's just, how do you know? You don't like being here.
Lesson, so I'll come back. You're another one of those patterns I can't shake that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Hey, I enjoy the show, and I don't know about you.
Do you feel like the people in here have flavor? Do you feel that? Can you feel me? Can you feel me? Can you feel these incredible beings around you right now? You know, so I'm going to say what it is, and I'm going to say what it is, and I'm going to say what it is until I say what it is. And then I'm going to say what it is again. So I'm going to try to say what it is as many times as I can say what it is, and as many different ways as I can say what it is. Okay? But before I do, here are the four things. I'm going to say it without anything going first. How do you recognize when you're dealing with the peace of real love? How do you know when you're dealing with peace, the peace of God? Well, just by one thing, it's nothing like anything you've ever experienced before. So that means every moment should be a moment like no moment you've ever experienced before. Now, how do you find this quiet where you stop going off on people? Stop attacking yourself. Stop attacking other people, because when you're angry and upset, you're saying that peace doesn't exist for me. That's the affirmation you're putting out to the universe. Peace doesn't exist for me. Now, am I saying repress? No, I'm not saying repress your feelings. I'm just saying recognize what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so see that anger as you're called by love. Mm-hmm. First, admit that what you're doing is attacking, and that your attack is a call for love. The third thing it says is that once you find some peace, how do you keep it? Well, don't go off again. The next time that you're tempted to go off, don't do it the next time. That's how you're peaceful now. Well, how do I keep it? Don't be no fool. You know, it's not really complex. You know, don't attack yourself, right? And then what's the last point? The last point is to realize that if you forgive yourself, I love it. If you forgive yourself, you stop hurting yourself. Mm-hmm. When you forgive yourself, you'll start being fair to yourself. And when you forgive yourself, you'll say that the universe wants me to have complete happiness, and I want to have complete happiness too. I finally want the good that the universe wants for me. I want the good that my creator wants for me. How do I do it? This peace is like no other peace. How do I find it? I've got to learn how to stop attacking myself and others. How do I keep it? I still got to stop attacking myself and others. I got to set that goal. Okay, now I'm going to share it again.
Oscar, you know what I'm saying?
for the most miserable life portrayed. The most miserable life ever lived. The nominees are you as a child, you as a teenager, you as a young adult.
You have to go through all the levels in your life to compete against yourself.
Well, I definitely was more miserable in my 20s. Is that going to win?
I know my 20s are going to walk away with this.
And I'm most nominated. Thank you very much. Woo, buddy. Well, let me tell you, hugs are available. And don't forget, for the low price of $49.95. Roberta's on call.
I'll see y'all next time.
I love you. I love you. Hugs are available. I love her.
Good hugging people in here.